Question: What are some practical habits of hope? Answer: Everyone has to find their own way. It could be participating in politics or joining a protest movement or practicing religion. Certainly in Chicago, where I live, black churches are a center of hope for the community. My synagogue is social justice oriented, the idea being that each person can do something for the community. We have gardens and produce fresh produce for the poor. A big constant is the arts, which are tremendous schools of hope, whatever the work is, even if it's really grim. Artists get us to examine the insides of people in a way that isn't filled with disgust, that lead us to a deeper understanding. I'm about to teach a course on Arthur Miller's play Death of a Salesman. It's a terrifying play about America and the destruction of the American dream, but it opens up something in our community and in people that we might not have understood. Artists have a vision of humans as capacious. They don't view people as tools, and that attitude promotes habits of hope. But so does philosophy. The liberal arts education is such a great school of citizenship because it has the imaginative part as well as the Socratic part. Socratic philosophy gets you to a model of rational, respectful debate. If you're in a philosophy class, you're not going to be yelling at somebody. You're going to be dissecting their argument and trying to figure out what the premises are, whether the premises lead to the conclusion, and if not, what went wrong. You get the habit of rational, respectful deliberations, and that is an important practice of hope. Question: You talk of rational debate. How do we get back to that? Answer: I'm currently developing a new course, Conflicting Theories of Justice and Law, for students who are polarized. I want to give them a safe place to argue together. They'll be presented with conservative, libertarian, liberal, and other more radical theories, and then they can ask themselves where they fit into the debate. That is one of the most hopeful things of all, a classroom where people who differ greatly can talk with friendship and civility across tremendous divides. I'll be co-teaching it with conservative colleagues, and that's important because it might get students to choose a course they wouldn't think of taking. They often vote with their feet, and they polarize themselves. Our law school is unique among the major law schools because we have the largest proportion of very conservative religious students. If you're a Mormon or evangelical Christian, you'll not be marginalized or vilified the way you might be at Harvard or Yale. Question: Any last thoughts on overcoming cynicism or apathy during these difficult times? Answer: I think we should honor people like Cicero, who take risks, who are willing to get involved, and who are not overly self-protective. Politics is difficult and painful, and the people who get in there and do it with good grace and joy, it's one of the most important things anyone can do. To me, the cynical response is totally unappealing. The ancient cynics are very different from what's meant by cynicism today, which is thinking everything is worthless. If you think, as I do, that this is the only life you've got, well, if that's not worthwhile, what is? The world has so much in it that is wonderful and beautiful. People, nature, animals. I hope that young people, in particular, do what they can to preserve the planet. It needs a lot of work if we're going to hang on.